I'm Paul Wiegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is Vanessa Simon, here to take us on a personal journey of using the arts as a way to heal and recover from cancer. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Well, I really appreciate your being here to share this journey with our audience. So let's start at the beginning of this journey.
Sure. So in 2014, about 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was very unexpected. I had no history of it in my family. And it really turned my world upside down. It was, as you can imagine, the hardest words to hear. And as I tried to deal with the diagnosis, the treatments, and the surgeries, I really pulled back into my creative self that I had been ignoring for quite some time to help me through that time. I had been trying, really, I was trying anything is the truth, and certainly my faith and prayer was something that I relied on heavily. But as I tried to deal with the anxiety, I would try, you know, to meditate, to do different things just to help me. And I found that art was the thing that helped me the most, whether it was writing or taking photos, listening to music. And it reignited a passion that I had inside of me since I was a teenager that I had really quite frankly been ignoring and put totally in the back of my life.
Now, what was your involvement in the arts or your experience with the arts prior to the diagnosis?
So I had begun doing photography when I was a teenager, and I loved it. I would work in the, you know, dark room. I participated in different art projects. But then as I became a young adult, I just completely ignored it. I did continue with photography here and there, but it was something that I was just, it was a part of me that I didn't see as useful is the truth. And so, you know, it didn't make me money. So when it came down to it, that was pretty much where, you know, it just went into the background. And I'm sorry to say that because it was something that I felt really passionate about when I was young and something that actually really helped me when I was young to express myself. And then as I became a mother, it went even further into the background. I mean, I would take photos of my children, but there just seemed to be no time for it, and it seemed sort of frivolous. So I really ignored. It was a big part of me that I ignored.
Now, so with the photography that you've gotten back into that, mm-hmm. What is the nature of the photography? Is it are there specific subjects that you're photographing, or and how do you sort of integrate that into what you're wrestling with personally?
So I, during this time of trying to get healthy, I started doing a 365 project, which is that you take a photo every single day, mm-hmm. and that started bringing me back into it. But what I love to photograph is nature. I love being out in nature. That's another thing that is very helpful, I think, in general when you're trying to recover from anything. And so I focus mainly on photography and nature.
So and in that capacity, there's so many studies about the arts and healing, regardless of what the ailment is. How do you find it affecting you physically, emotionally, mentally?
Well, for me, it got me outside, which was something that I needed. And just it got me out of my head, which was also very helpful in dealing with anxiety. The combination of being creative and being outdoors, being at the, we have such wonderful state parks here in Delaware, mm-hmm. being at the state parks, That combination of actually walking outside, being in the fresh air, being around the trees, I know it sounds very hippie, but the truth is that it was so helpful to me. It helped me so much to find healing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do with the photographs that you take?
So I have entered some of them into, some of the local contests. I've participated in the In Wilmington photo contest that happens, I believe it happens around this time. And I, you know, the beauty of Instagram mm-hmm. is that, you know, you have an instant audience, whether it's not a gallery, but there's an audience there that and a community that you can mm-hmm. build through there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I know the State's Government Information Center occasionally solicits photography.
Yes.
I think it's their 360 project. I should know the name of it, but we can talk offline about it.
That'd be great.
I know if you go to the State's Government Information Center website, there's information about it.
Nice.
In fact, they have some photographs of Delaware photographers in the mm-hmm. Carville State Office Building now. Now, in the development of this photography, were you able to tap into any other resources, or how did you come about this, and how have you developed as a photographer?
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because I was doing photography and also drawing, doing a meditative drawing, and so the two things in conjunction have sort of sparked creativity back in my heart and in my life, and I actually became very open to trying new things after this diagnosis, which was really a gift. I would say I'm not grateful for the diagnosis, but I am grateful for the way that it has ignited this part of myself again. And one of the first things that I did was I participated in a storyteller event at the Delaware Art Museum. Mm. Where and at that time they had an exhibit of Latino American artists, and they kind of put out a call for people to come share their story of immigrating to the U.S. And I very naively said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And it turned out to be like a 3-month project that was so rewarding, so amazing. I met really wonderful local artists and just really made some great friends and got connected to the Delaware Art Museum. And we presented, really, it was a performance mm-hmm. that involved drums and everything, something I would have never done mm-hmm. before. But it through that, I stayed connected with the Delaware Art Museum, and I'm sure you're aware of their Connected series mm-hmm. that they do. Mm-hmm. So they asked me if there was anything that I wanted to contribute to the Connected series. And I met a lovely woman there. Her name is Luisa Ortiz. And her and I sort of have been affected by cancer in different ways and are creative people. And so we decided that we would like to come up with workshops that would offer that to other people facing cancer or maybe caregivers that are trying to help loved ones. So we put together we call them art as therapy. It's not quite art therapy because they're short workshops that we put out in conjunction with other organizations, and offer these workshops so that people can come and be expressive and artistic. It's really been surprising how many people don't think that they're creative, but really have something in them that mm-hmm. kind of has to come out. And I've actually heard quite a few cancer survivors express that before cancer, they had never had a need to paint or had never a need to create. But after the diagnosis, they really felt like they had to.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
mm-hmm.
even like, oh, maybe I should. It's I have to be creative in some way.
Now, who are some of the what are some of the organizations you work with in these sponsoring these workshops?
So the Delaware Cancer Support Community, mm-hmm. They have been a wonderful partner to us, and they partner with us with these art workshops and another program. the Breast Cancer Coalition. Mm-hmm. Helen Graham has hosted, they host one of our workshops every year. And the LACC, the Latin American Community Center, also as well. They have been just wonderful, very welcoming, and definitely the Delaware Art Museum. They have taken on, and this started as a connected series program, but now it's a permanent part of their programming. So we're in our third year of hosting these workshops. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do, now we have four workshops that we do starting in the spring into the fall. And at the end of that, we have a celebration at the museum where if people would like to, they can show what they worked on at the workshops. And it could be painting. We did one workshop with ceramics, which was really fun. Or we did another one with watercolors. So they could choose to show and come celebrate with their families. Mm. And we also try to provide resources at the celebration. And one addition that we did last year that just turned out to be wonderful and we're going to do again this year is a grief drumming session by Josh Robinson. He's just a wonderful drummer. And it doesn't sound fun because it's grief drumming, sure, but it's sure. so wonderful.
It's therapeutic.
Very, yeah. very therapeutic. Yeah. And he's a wonderful teacher because he takes somebody. I'm not personally very rhythmic. But he makes you feel like you can do anything. And the process of it really is very, very therapeutic.
And these are at the Delaware Art Museum?
Yes.
Whose website, I believe, is delart.org.
That's right. Okay. And our event this year will be October 20th. It's a Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. And we're really excited because we've actually extended the celebration a little bit by 2 hours. And we're really excited to host everybody, and even if you haven't participated in the workshops, it's a great time to come out and see, to support people in the community who have unfortunately been touched by cancer.
Now, I'd like to continue to hear about your story, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is Vanessa Simon, taking us on a personal journey using the arts for healing, particularly in the face of cancer diagnosis. Now, Vanessa, you've talked about the photography and the storytelling. You are not a trained professional artist, is that correct?
I am not.
So talk about that evolution and increasing comfort and interest yes. in using the arts yes. as an avocation.
Yes, it's definitely... I've been a learning experience. Even saying that I'm artistic or I'm an artist feels so incredibly uncomfortable. And I think that most people can relate to that. I think that we're given messages all our lives that being creative is only for certain people, mm-hmm. That being artistic is only for certain people, or if you're, you know, art is up on a gallery on an exhibit, then you're successful. But I've really come to redefine that for myself. I am an artistic person because I am. Mm-hmm. I don't need letters behind my name to tell me that I am. Mm-hmm. I just know that I am because I feel it when I'm not being creative. I feel how it affects me when I'm not, you know, participating in creative projects. I see how there's a part of me that I'm ignoring. So so that, you know, in itself has been a big learning process for me. And I am self-taught, and yeah, as far as photography and drawing goes, I have received, since starting these workshops, I have received certification to teach a meditative art method called Zentangle. You have to be certified. It's a trademarked process, and I also received a scholarship to get that certification. I was really proud of being able to do that, and I have started teaching that to other people who think they are not creative. And it's so wonderful to watch. There's this friend of mine who had not picked up a pen to draw or a pencil to draw since she was very young, and now she's in her 40s. Mm. And I started showing her this meditative art method, and she, the next week that I saw her, she had all these supplies that she just felt so excited about, you know, about showing me. And then the following week, she came in with like notebooks of works that she had been working on. And then she had this binder filled with, you know, we use 3.5 by 3.5 tiles to do Zentangle. And she had binders filled with these tiles that she had been working on. And it was so inspiring to see that. And that's what I love about the arts, is that really once it ignites in you, it's something that you can't deny it. You can't express it. Nobody has to tell you you're an artist. You just are.
Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing in your talking about your personal journey is that the arts, while they are, were kind of kindled within you, individually, for lack of a better word, in isolation, it also has allowed for you to have not only a personal outlet, but also social connections.
Yes.
Could you speak about that and how that in and of itself is therapeutic?
Absolutely. I mean, I really believe that we're made to be connected to one another, and this is a great way to do that. I mean, I've met so many people from, whether it's in the art world, you know, or just even my own family, my own friends who really do not believe themselves to be creative. It's really fun, actually, for me to show somebody that they can be creative, even if they think they don't. I feel like, I don't know if this answers your question, but I feel like my children are growing up in a very supportive, creative environment, but my youngest son will say that he is not a creative person, but he has notebooks of stick figures that he draws into battles, you know, and so I love seeing how somebody can change their mind about that, and how just by simply being around other people who are encouraging can change that for them. And I feel like I've had several people just be very supportive of what I'm doing. Sarah Lynn Rosenfeld and Jonathan Whitney from the Delaware Art Museum come to mind right away, because they really have gotten behind these workshops and have made it a part of the museum, and they see the value and in how art can help people. And also, not only that, how you can be an older, I am in my 40s, and how, you know, you could be older, but still have a chance at starting something fresh, something new. And they have created so many outlets really there for creativity that that's, you know, part of that whole community that helps each other.
Do you see in your experience that the arts are a way to not only release, but sort of express what you must wrestle with internally?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I really struggle with a lot of fear, you know, and I am a person of faith, but, you know, fear is fear, and there are things in life that bring on real fear. And having you know, sitting down and drawing something, even if it's small, helps you to turn off that part of your brain that's telling you, be scared, you know, be anxious, you know. And that's what I personally love about Zentangle in specific, is because I've seen how it really just turns off that part of your brain that is trying to, in a way, work against you, you know. I've also seen how, you know, what you were talking about, the community that you build around you, how that helps so much with that. So it's an expression, but it is also a community, a communal experience.
Now, you alluded to something earlier, and that is, you know, oftentimes we think we're not an artist because our painting's not hanging in a gallery somewhere. Yeah. But I know our agency, the Division of the Arts, we look at art in different ways there's art as a product, but there's also art as a process. Mm-hmm. And what I hear you talking about is using the arts as a process.
Yes.
For healing, for dealing with the challenges that you face, and for expressing that. Could you speak to that, just how the arts as a process for you and the people that you see in these workshops, and how they benefit from that process without worrying about what the final product looks like?
I think trying to get somebody not to worry about what the final product will look like is the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. These workshops are usually about 2 hours long, and we do hire a professional art therapist. And as we're talking, and as, you know, we're getting some instruction from the art therapist, I see people relax. I think they come to it, sometimes people can come to it very nervous and very, you know, just not knowing what to expect. But then I see that as they're just around other people, that they start relaxing. As they see that somebody else makes a mistake, they start relaxing, you know, and that's one of my favorite things. And it's actually an idea, you know, that I've gotten from Zentangle, that it's that there are no mistakes. In Zentangle, you don't use a pencil, you use a pen, because there are no mistakes. Those mistakes are opportunity to be creative. And I think even taking that small concept into your life, that bad things that happen are an opportunity. Hard things that happen are an opportunity. Mistakes that you make are an opportunity. That small concept is just it's just so helpful.
Well, and that's a wonderful way to conclude. We're running out of time. This is a topic that we could go on at great length. But Vanessa Simon, I really appreciate you sharing your story with us and talking about some of the really great work that you're doing, that your peers are doing. In, I will say, avocational art, using art to process really difficult challenges in our lives, and for sharing what organizations like the Delaware Art Museum are doing as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.